Welcome into the SEC pub.
What's up, everybody? I'm your host, Dale. Welcome in. It's another week of college football. So it's another week in the SEC pub. With me today, we got Nick from Roll Coverage. What's up, Nick?
It's going pretty good. How about yourself, Dale?
All good, man. Give me your best and worst of the weekend.
Best game, any game so far is Colorado. So let's just stay with that. Worst game is my Duke team losing. Obviously, you're going to have a tough one with LSU taking an L. I felt like, you know, our team just kind of played it out of it, but I'm fully looking forward to Colorado and Duke moving forwards. I'm hoping that these are just stepping stones towards a brighter future.
Okay. All right. I feel you, man. I feel you. And also with me from STWF TV and the millions and millions of podcasts they do, my guy Will. What's up, man?
What's going on, fellas? We get our hands a little dirty, you know. We do our thing.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. Well, give me your best and worst of the weekend.
I actually have to agree with them in terms of the Colorado situation. It's a program television or like appointment television. You have to watch this. Yeah. It's like the newest show that's out that everybody's watching. You got to go watch what's going on with them. Win, lose, or draw, it's interesting. When they get blown out, we get tons of stories.
Yeah.
When there's
gonna be stories every week.
Yeah, every week. It's perfect. And the worst? What was the worst for this week? I didn't really have a worst this week other than just, I don't know. I'm not happy with my Gators. How about that? Yeah, I'll just pick my own team.
All right.
It wasn't that this week is that bad, but just in general.
Yeah.
My Gators.
I'm with you. All right. My best for sure. LSU going up to Missouri, handling business, 49-39. Offense came to play. Just like I expected, Jaden Daniels dropping dimes. He threw three touchdowns. Our defense, we suck, you know, but it is what it is. You just got to embrace it. You know what you are, and you got a game plan for this. So, I like the way the Tigers responded, and we did our thing. And of course, my worst for the weekend is going to have to go to Miami. And if you missed this one,
that's a good one. I forgot that.
I just watched the highlight. Oh my God.
We don't even need to press play on this. Okay.
No, you know,
because you know what's going to happen. If you know,
it's the fourth quarter, 35 seconds left. Miami is up 20-17. All you got to do is kneel. The coach decides to call a play. They run a running play. And oh my God, the running back fumbles the ball and they lose.
I've never seen a play where there's just everyone to blame.
Yeah.
Because you can't just, like, I want to put all the blame on the coach, right? Because, of course, take a knee. Except you got to trust your guys, right?
I mean,
you got one play, just hold on to the ball.
This ain't about trusting your guys. I mean,
it's about,
you trust your guys to complete the snap, exchange or whatever. Yeah.
And I guess while we're talking trust, they should be able to trust their coach. And now,
The coach is gonna tell you the right thing to do. You go do what your coach says to do.
Do your job.
Would you rather lose like this or in a Hail Mary or something like the Miami and New England's one from the other year where they like pitched it all around and got a touchdown?
Give literally any way of loss but this is kind of the
I agree. Question. I agree. So this is my question. It's because it's happened to Mario Cristobal. He is supposed to be like a great coach and everything like that. Do you think this hurts him at all? Because I think the caveat to that is if this had happened to, say, for example, Colorado, Deion Sanders would be everywhere prime time for crucified. Failing, whereas this Mario Cristobal thing is going to kind of sneak under a little. Obviously, the people that are diehard college football fans are going to love it, but there's going to be a lot of people that have no idea this happened.
You know, I think Cristobal, I mean, for sure he's getting pounded in the media right now and his fan base and everything like that. So he's not going to escape You know, but I mean, he just got that job, so you're not gonna fire him over it.
Oh no. No, I don't think it's a fireable offense, but it's certainly a what the.
I mean, it's close.
Bad, yeah.
It's not really viral yet.
That
was pretty close. If you were already on the edge, he would have been pushed off.
You know what the first thing I thought of when I saw this? I was like, man, is he and this entire team lucky that we're not in the pre-playoff era where one loss is the season? If this happened, if this happened before college football playoff, he might have got fired. That's crazy, man.
It's just so reminiscent of Cincinnati Ravens game where he literally reached over, grabbed the ball, and ran away with it. It's like, what? It's such a just mind-blowing moment.
Yeah,
man. insane, but that's my rebuttal to everybody who thinks, you know what, I don't know as much as the coaches, because the coaches get paid millions of dollars. You know what? No. I probably do this on the weekends as my second job. But, coaches, look, they make mistakes too. So, so there you go. Let's get into the show here. We got a few games to discuss here. So let's start it off with Texas A&M going to Tennessee. Tennessee is a 2.5-point favorite. 54.5 is the total. Now, to me, this is a game where both teams, they want to prove that they're the big dog in their division. And you got to beat up on the other guy trying to come up in their division on the other side. So A&M, they've lost 12 straight versus ranked opponents on the road. And they're having to start Max Johnson, who's their backup quarterback. They started him past two games, and he's done all right. He's been completed 31 of 53 passes for 449, 3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. But the Aggies, they're coming off of a tough loss, 26-20 versus Alabama this past weekend. I don't know if you guys really watched the game, but one of the players I like a lot on Texas A&M is Aeneas Smith. Like, he always makes plays, like, in special teams, and he does a pretty good job as a receiver as well. He had 4 for 88 last week. And he had a punt return for like 46 yards. Pretty good for A&M. But on the Tennessee side, big question has been their quarterback, Joe Milton.
Yeah.
He's been struggling with some inconsistency. He's struggling with the deep ball. They always they're looking at his percentage on deep ball percentages. It's always been pretty low when you get past 20 yards. So they really need him to step up so that way they can have some explosive pace. And last year in this offense, that's what the offense was built on. Throwing the ball deep to Hyatt. I mean, Hilton and all that, you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
They also had Hooker then too.
It's true. You're bringing in a new quarterback, you have some growing pains and that's what they're going through. So
they're coming off a win and then a bye. They won at South Carolina. I think that backup is going to have to play above and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I know you won't get in the game, but if you've watched any of SCWF or any of the play call sheet, I've been talking about their other backup, Nico Lamaleva.
Okay.
This young boy, a freshman, I kind of want to see him get in the game, but it probably means an injury if he does, so I don't want to see that. But I'd love to see him get in the game. The guy's like 6'6". Like 190. It's probably why he hasn't played yet. He weighs nothing. but I look forward. I would hope that he maybe get some snaps if the backup. Who is the backup? The current backup. You just said his name too. The current backup.
Milton. Well, he's a starter now. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well. Yeah. If Milton isn't working out,
right?
I want to see the freshman in there. I don't know if he redshirted, but I think they can pull him out. I don't see a redshirt tag on him. So I'd love to see him get in the game. I saw him in a bunch of different. You know how the new, when you see all the high school videos coming up, like the new circuit, you can see everything even before they get to college. So
okay,
I've been watching him for a few years now because he's been highly touted. Yeah, I'd love to see Nico get into the game, but yeah, are we doing picks for this game yet, or are we just talking about?
You can give your pick. Yeah, go ahead.
I actually like Tennessee in this game. I think they're gonna beat Texas A&M. Coming off a bye too, they've had some rest, so I think they're primed for a good victory here.
Okay. What you think about this game here, Nick?
This one's going to be a tough one. First of all, didn't Texas A&M just barely lose to Alabama?
Yeah, it was 26-20.
Yeah. So, and then we're also talking about a Tennessee team coming off of a bye. So I think that personally here, I'm not going to bury the lead. I would take the over, and I'd take Texas A&M plus 2.5.
Nice.
I think that they absolutely could walk into this and dominate them. I mean, win by 20 plus. Tennessee is absolutely missing a hooker. Like you were saying before, missing a Hyatt, missing all those guys because yes, they want to throw the ball downfield. And those were the basically Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase of that system.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I just don't think that Milton has it yet. You're right. They still need to maybe put some pieces in there, kind of get it going. But yeah, I'm taking Texas A&M all the way. I don't think it's too big of a battle unless Milton actually shows up. If he shows up and throws, you know, 3+ touchdowns, no picks, they can win this game. But without that, they're taking a hard L.
Yeah.
Look, I'm looking at the rushing offense from Tennessee because I think that can be that can help Milton out a lot.
Yeah,
they have the number two rushing offense in the SEC, but they're going up against the number one rushing defense.
Yeah, that's right.
The SEC against Texas A&M.
Yeah, so, if they're playing with Alabama, who's Tennessee to Alabama?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
what I want to understand is how is Tennessee favorite? I mean, I know I picked them.
Home,
but
it's got to be off the bye. They get 3 points for being at home in most cases. Okay. So I mean, it's already shrank by point. You know, the half.
Yeah, it's negative 2.5. Yeah.
So I'd personally, like I said, if Tennessee could compete, yeah, but they clearly can't. A&M at least competed with Alabama.
Yeah.
The other thing to kind of think of is coming off of that Alabama game. I just know how Les Miles was with LSU. Like Alabama was a Super Bowl, and we put everything into it.
Smash them.
Yeah, but when you lose that game, the next game is, you know, I just lost Super Bowl. You know,
I don't know. This one could be the one to try and keep them like relevant, though. If they lose this one, I mean, they're pretty much done for the year.
Yeah, aren't they already 4-2?
At 4-2, you could win out the rest of the year and still make the playoffs.
Yeah. But if you lose another one though, that's four. Like,
yeah, you're done.
It's bad. It's not good.
Yeah, it's a wrap.
Yeah, you're out of the playoffs. I also got to admit that I probably picked Tennessee a little biased because that just makes the Florida win that we got better against them.
Yeah. I get it. You want to look good. I feel you.
You guys, your loss was tough. That Florida loss.
Yeah. All our losses are just brutal, honestly.
Hey, they're missing Hooker. You're missing Richardson.
Yeah, but we're missing a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah, right. Tim Tebow at this point.
Yeah, yes. They don't make them like that anymore. This must be Tuquan right here. Hey, yo. Yeah. That's T.Y., man. Metawatt.
Talking about that lack of Florida headgear there. All right.
Yeah. Let him go ahead.
Is that where you're from?
No, I'm actually. This is where I'm actually from. Yeah, New England. I'm in Boston.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. Let's go to the next game. We have Oregon at Washington. Washington is a 3-point favorite. The total for this game 66.5. But this game is a statement game for the college playoff committee. There
is two possible Heisman candidates.
Yes.
In this game. this is going to be a fun. You don't think so?
Yes.
No, hell no. It's Caleb Williams to lose at this point.
That's why I said candidate and not.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. They'll be on the ballot at least.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
They'll buy a suit and they'll show up and they'll watch him get
to lose.
Yes. For sure. I agree. Game of the week.
Agreed.
But yeah, this Bo Nix versus Penix Jr. is going to be fun.
Yeah. Bo Nix versus Penix Jr. On the Oregon side, Bo Nix enters his matchup. He's completing like 80% of his passes.
Such a college stat right there, but I love it.
So was that over under? Look at that.
Yeah. Washington
15 favorite. Touchdowns, one interception.
You can't really argue with those.
87 yards on the ground and a touchdown. So, I mean,
per game?
No.
Oh, I'm about to say, season. What is he? Like, did I miss something? Why is he not the Heisman?
This is right all now? The season. Yeah. Oh,
okay. Yeah.
But, you know, hey, Oregon's got a balanced offense too. They got their running back, Bucky Irvin, and he's averaging almost 8 yards per carry. So, Oregon is looking pretty good. On defense, they haven't allowed a 300-yard passer yet this season.
This is why I think Oregon's going to win this game.
Uh-huh.
Defensively. What Lanning's doing with them is – so I had someone say that what primetime is to Colorado, Lanning is to Oregon right now, where it's a whole different culture change. It's a whole different mindset, and he's bringing a whole different way to approach the game mm-hmm. with this team. And starting with, he's playing more defense than Oregon maybe has ever played, honestly. And, I think Oregon's going to win this game.
Yep. So on the Washington side, is one of the top offensive teams in the country. They're ranking first in total offense, 569 yards a game, third in points scored, 46 points per game. And Penix, he's entering a matchup, completing about 75% of his passes, almost 2,000 yards, 16 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. He's been pretty damn good, man, out there in Washington. Nick, what are you thinking about with this matchup so far?
This is an interesting one because I feel like this is the deciding factor for which one of these teams is for real. Mm-hmm. I think this is the deciding factor of can Oregon actively compete for a chip and everything like that, compete for a title. And same thing with Washington. I think that this is the who is going to play USC essentially, or who's going to be playing the Georgia or whoever of that in the finals. Mm-hmm. And if Oregon can put up a, 30 plus burger on them while less, doing like essentially what they did to Oregon to Washington or vice versa, yeah, then great. Then that team is clearly one of the top 2-3 in the game. But if this ends up being a 65-64 win by one of these teams, then yeah, they're basically just hoping and praying that they don't come across a real defense, which, just in case they forgot, Georgia exists. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that they can really compete at that level. So if somebody needs to come in here and definitively win, I'd probably take the under, and I'd probably take Oregon.
It's a good question. Which quarterback do you trust?
I think Bo Nix in the next 5 years will be a stable Herbert level quarterback. And I think that we'll start looking at Oregon as more of a powerhouse for putting out future quarterbacks. Whereas Penix will show up, he'll do well. He could be, somebody great in the NFL. But I think that Oregon is just establishing themselves as the real players in college football right now, even though they took a dump for a while Chip Kelly wasn't there.
Yeah.
Quarterback that I trust. Yeah, I'll say Bo Nix because it feels like I've known him for 10 years.
Yep.
I know exactly what to, even though like he started off a little rocky, I know exactly what to expect. Big game, little game, I know what to expect out of Bo Nix. And so not that I don't know what Penix is nice, I just haven't been able to watch him for 6 years.
Correct.
Penix pretty new to me.
Yeah, he reminds me of Will Levis for some reason. I don't know what it is. Like, I feel like he has so much hype coming out, but that's what I'm saying. This game is going to decide their draft and potentially the future. I think that, like we were going previously talking about the Heisman, one of these guys could lose the Heisman but actually make it to the Natty, whereas I could absolutely see USC planting another Heisman but not even getting into the playoffs.
I agree.
Yeah, like, I think that one of these guys could genuinely compete for a Natty over, again, Caleb Williams, but it's going to depend on this game. This is the deciding factor for both of their draft stocks and everything, because they're both going to come out this year.
And this is going to be,
I believe so. Yeah.
I would love to see the press release for all the scouts that come to this game.
There's going to be so many.
The whole league should have one guy there at least.
Yep.
And if they don't, they have somebody like actively watching the game on a TV.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep.
I guess I'm kind of biased. I'm thinking about Bo Nix from Auburn. You know, yeah, he's not the same player. You know, he's not the same player. So,
no, he's different. Yeah. He's also not facing SEC defenses really as much anymore. So,
correct, which could help his draft stock moving forwards.
Yeah.
I just hope the Huskies don't come out like Colorado.
Well, which Colorado? We've seen them come out and
yeah,
and be really good. But I guess you mean I guess it means against Oregon. And
yeah. I think we could see us a year where Colorado and Washington finish with the same record. So, huh. Where they both finish with two losses.
Interesting. It'll be fun.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, let's move to our next matchup here. I actually didn't pick a pick, so let me make a pick.
Look at you. Gee.
I'm going to pick Oregon in that game. Yeah.
Good choice.
Sounds about right.
All right, the next game we're going to talk about is Notre Dame versus USC. This is USC at Notre Dame. Notre Dame is a 2.5-point favorite. The total for this game, 60.5. USC hasn't won a game against Notre Dame on the road since 2011. And the weather for this game should be nasty. We're looking about 50s and rainy. That's what we're calling for. So just thinking about that makes me think the more physical team is going to win. And one thing I know about USC's defense, they are worse than LSU's.
That's like his baseline if you're above or below LSU.
I mean, this is it.
That's a good way to go about it.
This is the bar here, man. So, but offense for USC, they've been doing pretty good, but they've been struggling on third down recently. Only converting 32% on third down attempts in the last three games. They're dealing with a bunch of injuries on defense, and they're missing tackles like crazy, like it's the first game of the season. They're giving up 57 yards per game on the ground, and 264 in the air. So, but overall on offense, they're third in passing in the country. So maybe the offense can power them through, but with the weather looking like this, I don't know. You need to pack a defense with conditions like this. On Notre Dame side, the offense struggled the last three games. Quarterback Sam Hartman, he leads the team, but he's coming off a poor performance, three interceptions, gave up five sacks. Has the offense struggled because they're playing good teams or because they're not that good? That's my question with Notre Dame. I don't know. Nick, what do you think about Notre Dame?
I think Notre Dame is essentially rolling out a Trent Richardson at quarterback. So I don't think that they compete in this at all. I don't think that Notre Dame can compete at the highest level. I don't think that until they join a conference, they should be taken seriously, to be honest with you. I see USC coming in here and absolutely demolishing them. I will agree with a lot of people that USC plays to their competition, but we're seeing that with a lot of teams. We're seeing LSU, for example, Alabama, Georgia went close with Auburn. So there's a lot of teams that are kind of letting some teams hang when they shouldn't. I would probably take this Trojans giving whatever. I don't care because they're going to win this game. I think that their offense is top five. Yes, their defense may be porous, but Notre Dame can't compete in the offensive department. It'd be like my Panthers. It doesn't matter what our defense can do or anything. If we can't put up points on the board, it's not going to matter. I think that USC will make the plays when time comes, and they will walk away with a win. And then more people are going to be looking at Notre Dame like, you guys are not ready for the, you know, for the big time, essentially, this year. Maybe next year, but this dude is just not it. And I can't remember the last time I looked at a Notre Dame quarterback and realistically was like, oh, he's the best guy on the field. That's never the case. Like, I thought Ian Book was half decent at one point, but clearly he can hang. Yeah, I thought he might have, when he went to the Colts, I was like, oh, that could be a decent backup situation. No. They don't produce it. They don't. It's just not. I don't believe in them until they actually show up.
And I didn't hate Jimmy Clausen until he got to the league.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I both of these teams are really good, but I don't trust either of them. I trust USC way more, mainly because their best player might be the best player in college football. So,
right.
But yeah, I've seen games out of USC that I just wasn't. I'm like, all right, you guys are supposed to be seemingly. I mean, they won the game, obviously.
Yeah,
but. I don't know. I haven't liked, but again, I really, I like what I've seen from Notre Dame even less. So, and they had the two losses. I mean, they may play harder because of the two losses, thinking that they cannot lose another one. But like you said, I think USC is more primed for postseason than Notre Dame. Notre Dame is, I don't trust either, but Notre Dame, I definitely don't trust. So I'm going to go just the easier route. I can't believe they're favored too.
Yeah, that's bananas.
Home, that's what
so,
it is.
Yeah, they love those. I get
There's
it.
No way. There's no way that somebody can realistically look at this game and be like, USC, who I'm going to create this parallel real quick. I feel like USC is, if Colorado immediately was put in the a massive franchise, like you just take that roster and put it in USC, that's what USC is. USC is going to play to their competition and everything like that. So this could end up being a low scoring affair. This could also be them winning by 60. This could be a Dolphins level, like demolishing. Regardless of anything, I don't think that Notre Dame can compete. I just don't. I don't think they are. I think USC is essentially a better version of Colorado, but they're the exact same thing. They have to win through passing offense.
Okay.
And they're relying on Shadur or Caleb Williams to carry them 100% of the way. If they don't have five touchdowns, they lose the game. Period.
Yeah, that's why I'm worried about this game. I don't see it being a blowout just because I think the rain will keep it close.
Right.
I think
right.
The rain could also lead to some secondary slips and some blown coverages where USC just basically walks into an end zone. So yeah, it could go both ways.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Notre Dame plays on grass, right?
I think so.
Yeah, that's going to be nasty, man.
It's going to get messy. Real mess.
Yeah, but this could also be the game where we see Caleb Williams with four rushing touchdowns and one passing touchdown as opposed to four passing and one rushing.
The old Vince Young game.
yeah. So I could see it going either way.
Tim Tebow, like.
Yeah. Looking at Notre Dame's rushing offense, they average they're averaging like 171 yards a game. So it's not bad at all. And in these conditions, that could prove to be the difference maker right there.
The average average points are silly. 53 points a game for USC, 34 for Notre Dame.
Yeah.
555 yards a game for USC, 437 for Notre Dame. And opponents score 24 points on USC versus 15 versus Notre Dame. So Notre Dame slows the game down in general more than USC. USC wants to hurry up and get that downfield. So
right.
Yeah, but that's the problem. Yeah. They want to slow the game down, but then their offense also can't compete with a high-powered offense. So the minute they get behind, they're just going to steamroll them at that point.
Yeah, playing from behind is not what Notre Dame wants to do at all.
Nope.
Yep, exactly. So if I'm betting this game, then I'm taking USC in the points.
Yeah.
I just can't do it. I don't believe Notre Dame has really played anybody yet, you know, to really show that they're a good team. So I'm not gonna put any money down on Notre Dame. So
Duke team beat this Notre Dame team.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Like, we're not a football school for a reason.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. The minute you guys lost to us, your credibility went out the window.
I like that quarterback though. He's a warrior, man. I like him.
He is, but he's a college football warrior, and I don't think he's translating to the NFL
Probably not.
Okay. All right. Well, who does Florida have this week?
Who does Florida? I'm not gonna lie to you. I've been checked out on my Gators a little bit, but no, let me check right here. Gators this week.
What about Duke?
Duke, we're playing somebody terrible. I was actually pulling it up right now.
Yeah.
I just had the stats up. Where is it?
So we're playing South.
Are we playing? And I play NC State. So we're both playing the states of the Carolinas.
Yeah.
All right. There you go.
And if we lose to NC State, then oh well.
Yeah, just call it a year.
Yeah, we'll be 4-2 at that point. There's no way. I think we beat Clemson. Like, there was a chance we could win the ACC. Like, but yeah. No, that's gone.
Well, hey, LSU, we just played Missouri. They are the Tigers. We beat them. Now we're playing Auburn this week. They are the Tigers. So we're going to be king of the Tigers once we beat Auburn.
All right. Better be.
That's going to happen. But yeah, I'm pretty confident in this game. I'm not confident in our defense. I'm sorry, because we suck. We just suck.
But going back to what we were talking about last week, do you think that that's because of the transfer portal, and now that more talent is starting to be evenly distributed, that we're not seeing such an amassing of talent in one specific place, meaning the SEC,
yeah,
meaning Ohio State and everything like that, whereas now we're seeing Arizona be able to drop 40 sometimes and like all these teams finally being able to compete?
Yeah, the transfer portal, it's helped a lot of teams to jump up, like Texas, Texas A&M. Every time
Colorado too.
Yeah. Every time you see LSU in the transfer portal competing against somebody like this, we're losing out because we're not, our fund isn't funded as well as these other places. And yeah, so those transfers are being huge. We lost a transfer we lost somebody from our team to Auburn itself. So, you know, every year they're paying players from your team to come to their team. So
of course
you got to be ready to go.
I told you only got 2 years, and Deion Sanders will be there to save LSU.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I think Brian Kelly has like a decent year this year, and they kind of let him go next year. They fire him the end of next year. Deion Sanders has 2 years at Colorado. His son goes to the NFL. He's waiting for Travis Hunter to go to the NFL. Mm-hmm. They both go. He goes, I want to go somewhere else. And then LSU goes, here's the keys to a Power 5 team. Here you go. Here's mm-hmm. a multi-billion-dollar franchise. Mm-hmm. Whatever you need, here's my number. You call me, we'll get it. And you thought recruiting at Colorado was bad? Imagine it at LSU.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Can the Gators do this instead? I'd be a lot happier.
To be honest, I told my wife, I'm actually from Florida. Okay. My sister's an FSU alum and everything like that. Mm. I actually used to work at IMG when Tim Tebow, RG3, and all those guys were getting drafted. He used to hang out with us, and I used to cook for him.
Oh, nice.
So when this whole Colorado thing happened, and then he went against FSU and was like, I went to an HBCU. You guys need to, you know, kick rocks, essentially. Mm-hmm. I was like, he should turn full heel and go to Florida and be like,
yeah, no, I
like
that.
We're done. Like, we're out. Like, forget this. We're burning the whole thing down. Because he would take every Florida State person or anybody that lived in the state of Florida to Florida, away from Florida State, and would tank them and be like, oh, so you didn't believe in me? Well, they did, and I'm gonna give it to them. It'd be the ultimate heel turn.
Can I order that scenario, please?
Dude, college football would – oh, my.
I'd love it. Ever. If he was – if he went go Gators, man, that'd be – he's more likely to pull it off and go to Miami and just get everybody in Florida pissed.
Mm-hmm. Miami would be pretty dope, but then they would have to get rid of Cristobal at that point, which
which I don't think
he's still got time.
Yeah, he got time. Yeah, yeah.
He's got time. Yeah, or he goes to Cristobal and asks him to step down, be like, listen, you be the head of the offense. I help recruit and defense, and we run this.
Cristobal tell him to kick rocks.
You want to win? Or you want to go suck it at Western Kentucky? Where you want to go?
You're gonna keep handing the ball off when you can take a knee, or
okay. Well, clearly you're not in charge of the run game, my dude.
There you go.
Crazy.
All right. Well, hey, that's gonna wrap it up for us here on the SEC Pub. Nick, appreciate you joining me, man. Will, appreciate you joining me.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. Course.
Thanks, bro.
Always fun talking college football with y'all, man. So, check us out next week. We'll be back.
Remember to follow us on social media at BSNBA Media. Also, smash the like button on YouTube and share with friends.